M31. Number 1B.
All right. So we can realize that if you understand the mechanism of translation, if you understand how really a identity can change itself and manifest itself in different phenomena, that we, through that process, we can see the logic of it and the consistency of it instead of the inconsistency of it. We can see how they coincide and do not contradict themselves. So actually, one of the biggest problems that we should handle or that we should be mastering is the level consciousness. With that, every contradiction in the world can be resolved and must be resolved. Can you see that if we don't understand that we study the textbook and misunderstand it from first page to the last page. Just look at Christian Scientists who have studied the textbook, and we are all in the same pot. All of us were in the same pot. We were building up more and more a dualistic sense of existence. Something was truth, and something was error, and we are building up a universe of truth and in contradiction to it, or to it, and the universe of error. Well, there is no duality in being. Either there is oneness in being, or there isn't. If there is no oneness in being, we'd better go home and have a jolly good time and go fishing and play golf and do these things. We really get more kick out of our lives that way. But if there is a oneness in being, then there is oneness and not duality. Then there is not constantly that strife between truth and error, between good and evil, between spirit and matter, between life and death. And that's our constant daily bread we eat, huh? That strife between good and evil, that strife between truth and error. Constantly those two opposing powers, two opposing concepts, whatever they are. Well, alone analyzing within us that we have that sense within us should show us that we haven't understood the first thing about Christian Science. Because Christian Science teaches one God, one principle, one, and not two. The question is only, are we honest to ourselves? It's so good, you know, to have a quiet evening without anybody around us and sit down and say, shall I be as courageous enough to be honest with myself, just with myself? Nobody hears it, you know. I don't give myself away to the other, but just try once to be honest with oneself and ask, for instance, this question: have I one God, or have I a universe of duality? Am I actually in a position that I constantly feel there is a fight between two opposites? That we have to fight out the world, that we have to save a world, that we have to save ourselves, that we have to save this and save that. In order to save that and to resolve it, I have to put up a good fight. Let's have a good fight. That was Paul. He really put up a wonderful fight. But we are not in Paul's time. We have seen something about the oneness of being. And we have that fight because we don't know enough about the levels. The levels, see, the dimensional thinking, the dimensional logic is that which shows that phenomena do not contradict themselves. If there is only one being, then there is no phenomena that does not coincide with that noumenon of God, the one God. It does not. And if we feel it does not coincide, we know there is nothing wrong about the universe, there is something wrong about our reasoning. It's in us. We haven't seen the dimensional sense of being. We look at the circle, we look at the rectangular form, and we say, these are absolutely different, they do not coincide, they have nothing to do with each other, they have no identity, and yet they have, if, but only if, they are a translated sense of a higher level from that cylinder. Then the cylinder and the circle and the rectangular form are all identical on their level. That's always what you have to be aware of. Because on a one-dimensional thinking level, the rectangular and the circle are certainly not identical on a one-dimensional level. Never. They contradict. But if we can see them as translated form from something higher, they do not contradict. And therefore, in an ontological sense, we really should arrive at that point now with the levels where we begin to see that there is only one being, but that one being translated on various levels of consciousness, expresses itself in different phenomena, or in differing phenomena, I don't know which term is better, but not in contradicting phenomena. That's the point. Think of it, how we would approach our life, our everyday life, if we had that consciousness. We wouldn't constantly fight against somebody. We would not constantly be against something or somebody, against this and that and the other. And we are. Humanly we are. Because we haven't understood it. We haven't taken in the levels deep enough as tonality, as spiritual experience, as spiritual certainty, as clear spiritual insight, so that we really understand why these phenomena must not be the same and yet are identical in their core, that we must achieve. And then life becomes easier. Yes. Well, at that time, really, when John Dolly began to see these things, it was as if in the whole world people began to think about that way. We have at that time we had one of the main ontologists that we have in Europe was Hartmann, Nicolaus Hartmann. You had here Daya de Chardin, who in an absolutely different field was beginning to think in levels. We had then all the psychedelic phenomena that came up after the war. That was had all to do with the level consciousness. And so we must see that this phenomena is not something that is unique to Christian Science, but is a sign of a time. I always feel this is important to see, that something we study is not just some eccentric concept that we nurture and makes us eccentric people. Is that term right? Eccentric people, you know, just way out. I think you also say way out, huh? But that we are just in the rhythm of the general development of world thought. And that general development of world thought was picking up during World War II, for instance, also the Gestalt theory, which had a lot to do with this concept of dimension. And so a whole new world, whole new paradigm of thinking broke in on mankind. But while the others were trying to find this dimensional aspect in outward phenomena, like Tayo de Chardin, that he would find, well, that we have to do is at the same time with the cosmogenesis or with the biogenesis, these were all different stratas of consciousness, or with the no-genesis, the genesis of thinking, or the Christogenesis was another one. That these four stratas were constantly interlocking and intertwining. Christian Science naturally took up the same great proposition on a purely spiritual level, and not on a humanly material level. See, for instance, Hartmann, the great ontologist of our times in Germany. I don't know if he's well known over here. Naturally, it's already 40 years ago. But he made one of the biggest impact. He was a very spiritually minded man. He could see that being, the one being, would translate itself first to the level of physical processes, second on the level of biological living processes, then third, he had a third one, that being translates itself on a psychological level at the same time, and fourth, that it translates itself on a spiritual level. So again, you can see that he was thinking a similar way, only in a bit more materialistic way, but he could see that being is not working just on one level. Well, that was the time of John Dorley, and he began to see these levels. Now, again, you see, just taking a few examples so that we get used to level thinking. If you take what you call H2O, a chemical expression for water, huh? Actually, it's not water, it is what you call it. H2O is, what is the English expression for hydrogen? Well, it's the O with...
it's hydronic acid, or there's a hydroxyl. There too, you can express it either as an acid or a base.
Oh, yeah. Well, but you all know what it is, huh? H2O is what we usually call water, but it isn't water. It isn't water, it's H2O. If you translate it to below zero... in Fahrenheit, below 32 degrees, huh? It is ice. Above it, it is liquid, it's water. Above, what is your melt... When it becomes... steam, when it becomes steam, at home it is 100 centigrade. In Fahrenheit, I don't know when it is. At one point... water becomes steam, but it's still H2O. So H2O remains H2O. That's the identity. That's our cylinder. But according to the level, it appears as a phenomena. It appears either as ice or as water or as steam. Well, from the outside looked at, you wouldn't say, well, ice is identical with steam. And yet, if you consider them on the same level, namely on the level of how we experience it, from that level they are not identical. But from the level from where they come from, or what stands behind it, it's still H2O. So actually we live always in that dimensional sense. Only that we were not always aware, or we were only aware of a little bit, like this example, that we must consider being from a dimensional sense. Now, as we look deeper into ontology, we will see that everything in being, everything that we experience, even evil that we experience, is of the same nature as God. That behind it, if we see it as a translation of God that we see it as God himself, because there is no other identity but God. Therefore, what appears to be evil must be somehow God. And we naturally will see that it is, that evil is God when God is on the level of misunderstanding. When we translate it to the level of misunderstanding, then God is appears as a phenomena of evil. So evil is not an identity per se, see, but is actually a phenomena that arises from God when we introduce a false category, namely the category of misunderstanding. And you can easily see how in this way we really how we can finally reconcile everything that happens within our life into a one consciousness of oneness. And that would be the salvation. Yes. Let's take another symbol that may help us to see something else in a dimensional ontology. For instance, today, you see, we say that the whole world of matter is built up of atoms, electrons. We don't want to go into deep physics because I don't understand much about it or nothing about it, but we know as much that the general aspect today is that everything that is somehow material is built up of atoms and electrons. Is it so? If we reason that way on a one-dimensional level, then we can say yes, then the human body is nothing else but a big accumulation of atoms or electrons. Nothing else but that. That the tree is the same thing. It's nothing else but an accumulation of atoms and electrons. That the stars are nothing else but an accumulation of atoms and electrons. They are all the same stuff. So the building material of everything that exists in being is just atoms and electrons. That's the reasoning of the reductionists, those who reduce everything just to one level. That's a reductionist. But actually this is not true. Because something happens the moment we take atoms and heap atom upon atoms. There suddenly comes a time or a moment when you get something more than just a heap of atoms, namely a molecule. And the molecule has suddenly different laws and acts according to different laws. And you suddenly can't add any more, just more atoms or atoms. It suddenly becomes a new level. The level of molecules. And in those molecules, new laws are operating that did not operate in just heaping up atoms. There is a bridge somewhere, suddenly, that the whole thing changes. If you heap up molecules on molecules, you can't go on heaping up molecules on molecules until you have a whole mountain of molecules. There comes a point where suddenly they build a cell. And in the cell, new laws are operating. They have a new structure. It's not just heaping, can you say heaping up atoms on atoms? Huh? Suddenly something happens. And a new strata, a new level is reached, where new laws are operating, that of a cell. We can't take cells and heap them up, up and up and up until we have an elephant. That comes, long before that, comes a point where those cells form an organ, an organism. And in an organism, as you know, very different laws operate. In an organism like a heart or a stomach, other laws operate than in the atoms of this table. That table doesn't get sick. An organ can get sick. So suddenly you have again new structures, and this is new structures, new laws, and they are different from the laws of the lower levels. And so you go on, you come from the organism. You cannot heap up organism upon organism, just one heart and the next heart and the next heart. There is suddenly something that binds together different organism to a body. You suddenly have a body. And in the body again new structures are shown. Again new laws are operating. If you have bodies, you can't just heap up bodies upon bodies. There comes a point, they at the beginning, that was that way, you have just single bodies, a hunter and another hunter and another hunter, and he was hunting this animal and he was hunting that animal, and little by little they got together and formed a new kind of body, a tribe or a clan or whatever it was, a society. That's a new one. But that society still consists of atoms, fundamentally. But they are on a higher level. And having reached a higher level, new laws begin to operate. Even new kinds of laws. Up to that point, perhaps only physical laws, biological laws were operating. Suddenly social laws began to operate. And you have to have the Moses who gave them the commandments to keep those people together. He had a hell of a job, you know, to keep suddenly all those tribes together as one tribe. He had that job. Then you have societies. You go further and have various societies that have to live together. The great problem of today, can all the societies live together? Can the black and the white and the yellow men live together? Can the socialist and the capitalist live together? Can Russians and Americans live together? They are different societies with different laws within them. Can they form a higher compound? And so it goes on and on and on. Can you see? But the Russians and the Americans are built of the same atoms. They are the same ones. And yet, they are different phenomena. But fundamentally, there is one. So here again, one began suddenly to see that there must be a dimensional consciousness. And without the reasoning in dimensions and knowing the different logic in the different dimensions, life doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. And we can't live together. Yeah? Is that clear? How that just evolved and evolved. And how the reductionists who just say, oh, well, the whole world, you know, all those people, what are they? Actually, they are nothing. They are all built on the same stuff, on atoms and electrons. It's all the same stuff. But it isn't so. There is more to it. There is not more matter to it, but there is more relationships to it. And the relationship gives new laws, and the relationship forms new structures. And therefore, we have this wonderful sense of a dimensional ontology. So we are not just thinking in ontology on one level, but on many. That's why we must get to become a master in those levels, at least in the four levels. And we will devote up to Thursday, I hope, up to Thursday, just in culturing our consciousness to be able to think tonality-wise in those four levels of science. Then on Friday and Saturday, I will introduce a few sub-levels, and show you how the synonymous terms, when they are seen more and more in the finer category of the science levels, that they begin to explain to us really the inner meaning of the seven synonymous terms. That we'll do at the end of this week. Yes. Okay, that I think is more or less what was necessary in order to give the illustrations, the examples that we can use during the week and refer back and introduce the problem, the problematic, so to say, of the levels. And so this afternoon we'll start with the definition of our four levels. Okay.